Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to The Inspired Evolution. I'm your humble host, Amra Sandhu, and you're tuning in to a conscious conversation designed to help you grow. Our mission here is simple. It's for you to live your purpose, live your best life, live the life you love. This podcast is sponsored by Enthusiasm for Life, by Great Creation itself. To keep the good vibes flowing for myself and yourself, do us a solid, subscribe to the Inspired Evolution podcast on YouTube, the home of the Inspired Evolution podcast. Now sit back, relax, open your mind, open your heart to this conversation and stay inspired. Keep evolving. Welcome to the Inspired Evolution. And it is a treat. It is a global treat to be here today. We have with us Jesper and Cecilia Conrad. How are we today, guys?
Wonderful. The sun is shining. Life is good.
I can see that. For those that are tuning in to these guys for the first time, man, World Schooling Nomads, please go check out the website. They are a full-time traveling family and they are radical unschoolers, digital nomads, and most importantly, nice human beings who love people and animals. So thank you so much for tuning in. It is such a pleasure to have you both here. There is so much I want to tune into today. But for those that are tuning in for the first time, what even is unschooling? What is unschooling?
Basically, it's just living life as if school didn't exist.
How did that become a thing? This is a thing because part of me wants to go, how did school even become a thing? Because that sounds like, okay, because it makes me question, like, at some point school dropped in. Because then there would have been a point where we weren't schooling, but like schooling is so mainstream now that it's like, and now we're unschooling. Yeah. Bring us up to speed. What is going on?
I think explaining the whole history of the school system and how it brought about new ways of thinking might be a little too complex for this scene of 1 hour conversation. But basically, we do have the school system. We have more or less mandatory schooling or compulsive schooling in most Western countries. And we believe in it. We believe in education. We believe that this is the right thing to do. This is what children society needs. And well, at some point, some people started thinking differently. And I still think it's too complex. I will babble on for 45 minutes if you get me started. So I'll do it slowly. So, but the idea about unschooling is basically the idea that the children are fully capable of educating themselves. They will know what they need to do in their life. That learning is a byproduct of living, not the reverse. You don't need learning and education to live your life. You need to live your life and then you will learn. No one teaches their children to walk. All babies are babies. At some point, they walk. If you don't teach your children to read, at some point, they read. It's the same, actually, as most parents know with babies and toddlers. They go learn everything they need. They learn a language. They learn motor skills. They learn so many things from they are born till they are 2 years old. Mm-hmm. And then for the weird idea, we believe that they lose this ability of learning by themselves.
When they reach to school age.
When they reach school age, we start, you know, making them sit down. And we think that, well, we personally don't, but as a society, we think that we know better what they are supposed to do. And well, unschoolers don't believe in this. We believe in our children's personal freedom. We believe in their capability of living a rich and full life. We believe in their capability of learning whatever they need to learn. Mm-hmm. We also believe that learning itself is not a goal, unless it is. Unless you tell yourself, I want to learn to play the guitar. Obviously, you want to learn to play the guitar. You sit down, you learn it. But we often meet this question, how do you know they reach their full potential? And we have bright children, but it's like, what potential? Potential for a happy life, potential for healthy relationships, potential for knowing who you are and what you want, and how to evaluate your life so that you can be grateful every night when you go to bed, or reaching some government standard of math skills for 11 years old. I mean, it's what do you want? What is important? And for us, these school things are not that important. We find other stuff important.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because Conrad, you didn't have conventional education in your background, but Cecilia, you did. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then tuning into your stories, Jesper had more of a challenge with the unschooling concepts than Cecilia did. Is that right? Can you guys unpack a little bit around coming to the right decision? Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I think that has due to the way we dads detach ourselves more from the parenting role. Mm-hmm. For me, I was the breadwinner of the family. Cecilia gave birth to the children, obviously, and were there and nursed them. And I went pretty fast to work again. And so you have a detached connection with your children in another level than women has. And on top of that, I'm a regular guy from a normal suburb of Copenhagen, and I thought private schools were snobbish, and then the whole idea about unschooling. I had the normal feeling a lot of dads had is like, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm a product of the school. Why shouldn't the school be good enough for my children? Kind of stupidity.
And I'm from a crazy hippie family.
But and the fun thing is, I'm the most unschooled of us. If we look at our education,
he was in school, but he never paid any attention.
I didn't listen. No.
You unschooled yourself. Yeah.
But it's a normal reaction, and it's often the moms who see and understand their children on this level better. So it took me some time, and the story is that we started homeschooling our kids first, and then later on unschooling, when our back then 6-year-old told us he didn't want to go to school. And the process very slowly was Cecilia was the one taking him to school, trying it out. He wasn't happy, Storm, and he said to us he didn't want to go. And Cecilia, I convinced her to try one more time. And then the teacher said something really, really stupid. They said,
you know, I'm a trained psychologist. And when someone tells me that a child has too much of attachment, they don't know attachment theory, which is kind of annoying to me. But they told me that my son had too much of attachment to me. So that would be the reason he didn't like being in the school. This was a great alternative,
absolutely
free, open-minded,
liberal. Wow.
Very beautiful. Yeah. And I liked it. And we have an older daughter who was in that school and liked it at the moment, at the time. So So it's not that I was against the school. Storm did not want to go to school. And well, we had to, anyway, the teacher said, I think your child has too much of attachment to you. So you have to let the child come with the father. And then.
And I thought they were right, because I was a normal stupid man. So part of me was like, yeah, maybe you're a little too motherly. Maybe you're curling him a little too much. And then I tried to bring him to school.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, no, 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 I did. Okay. It
was... No, you didn't. Can I tell the story? Yeah, okay. Because you didn't. I because you wanted me to do it.
Okay.
When Storm said he didn't want to go to school, I said, okay, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
And you said you're not fine with that.
No, but I
was... You wanted us to try, and then we tried. Then the teacher said this stupid thing. And this is Thursday. And Storm only had school 3 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We tried in the mornings. We went home whenever he didn't feel like it anymore. I never left him there alone. And you know, this was Thursday. I had this meeting with the teacher. They said this thing. And I was like, there's no such thing as too much attachment to your parent. Anyway, so next school day would be Tuesday. Come Saturday in between here, a friend of mine dies of the same disease I just survived.
Yeah.
And we went to the funeral Sunday or Monday.
Yeah. Wow, that must have been pretty confronting.
And that was like, you know, another curtain being pulled. Like, okay, what? And you sat in the car when we went home from that funeral, before we even started the motor. You said, what the are we doing here? Our son is not happy. Life is beautiful. If he does not want to be in school, we can just not do it.
Yeah.
And that's where it stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, the universe will give you a clue.
The wake up calls.
Oh, yeah. We have had somebody wake up calls.
But at the heart of it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let me just, one of the things that I, when you tell the story, I can appreciate it, but there's a part of it where it's like, your son Storm suggested to you that, hey, I don't want to go to school.
Yeah.
Now, I'm loving the receptivity to go, oh, this is interesting, you know, and obviously I can understand Jesper's response, which is like, nah, everybody goes to school, mate. You know, you're being a kid. I remember I used to have martial arts classes, yeah, and I used to be sick all the time, right at 6 o'clock when it was time for martial arts class on the regular, you know, and but then my mother would send me. Now, I just, the tuning in, like, it's just that moment that gets me. It's like, you guys were willing enough to listen to his innate wisdom and say, actually, maybe you do know something about what it is that you want and what it is that you don't want. I find that
I could believe him the very moment he said it.
Yeah.
But I also knew from knowing of other unschooling, homeschooling families that it's a very, very hard process to homeschool or unschool your children if one parent is against it.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, I'm not doing this if my husband is against it. We need to align. And you were nice. You said, we need to try it out. He doesn't know what he's saying no to.
Yeah.
And this alternative school had this system where the children were age integrated. So if he started that particular year, he would be in the same group as his older sister, which would feel safe and homey for him. And Jesper thought, and he was right, if it was ever to be a good process for Storm, it would be that year. So we had to try in this moment, even though he said no. And we told him, you know, we're just trying it out. We go home whenever you don't want to be there. We're not leaving you alone in the school. And you don't have to do it if it's not working for you.
Yeah.
Tried it out these 3 weeks of 3 days a week. And then we had this meeting with the too much attachment idea and funeral. And that was it. So,
But what you point out is it's a really difficult part of being a parent, which is to listen to your children and to understand that you as a parent, you don't, it is not small slaves you have that you decide over. It is human beings. You were a child once. I was a child once, and Cecilia was also. And the gift we have as parents is to help guide our children to the best possible path for them and help maybe remove a stone from time to time.
But, give some advice.
Yeah.
Of course, we have other experiences that they have. Sometimes we tell them,
that's
you know,
a really bad
this
idea.
Might be a really bad idea or this might be a really good idea.
Mm.
Yeah. I also think that we personally are freedom fighters. We are very much like our personal freedom, and it's very hard for us to feel restrained or having this feeling someone else is deciding for me. And we respect the same space for our children. We don't think that, you know, anyone should. They are not little businesses to be managed. We all arrived here and they have a mission, and we shouldn't tell them what to do. We should, you know, rather teach them or help them to find how to manage this freedom or how to handle this life.
I appreciate what you're saying, because that speaks to what was going to be my next question, but you've answered already, was like the rub between listening to your child versus listening to the expectations of society, which, you know, when I say it that way, it sounds so much like, oh, expectations of society, shut up. But really, like, we all do to some
degree, yeah.
Right? And it must be such a rub to go, this is what I can hear in my soul, in my heart. But you described it, you know, we're freedom fighters, and, you know, we chose freedom. And I really respect that. Now, one of the things, so you tried now, but for those that are tuning in, I know that there's going to be I dare not let people go away with the same idea that homeschooling is unschooling, because you tried homeschooling and then it evolved into unschooling. So we went to school, but then we homeschooled and then we unschooled. Can you tell us a little bit about what was homeschooling like and why did that evolve into unschooling? And potentially that'll highlight some of the differences between homeschooling and unschooling. Yeah.
I will start it off, and then I believe Cecilia will continue it. Often when people start homeschooling, like we did, then there are some insecurities, because now you are taking on the responsibility of the task of making sure that your child will function in the world.
Can I just pause you there for a sec? Because I think that is one of the most intimidating things about schooling your own kids, which when you think about it just objectively and you acknowledge that as a fact, is kind of like, what am I like as a parent if I don't want the responsibility for teaching my kids? It's like, that's quite a confronting fact to consider, where it's like, I'd rather delegate some of that responsibility to others.
It is so easy to go to work. It is so easy to put your child in school. It is so easy to have their life filled with 3 to 4 times a week, the gymnastic, some sort
after
of exercise,
activities.
After school exhibit the things. And it is wonderfully easy, because you don't need to think, you don't have the responsibility. A paycheck will come. If your kid is not reading at a proper age, you can call and blame the teacher.
What's a proper age for reading?
I don't know. There's no proper age when you're ready. No, but it's right. It was super terrifying.
It was.
And as I was the one most afraid, and Cecilia was the one home with the responsibility, there came some of the same dissonance in it, where I was like, make sure they learn to read, because I cannot say yes to this homeschooling thing if they don't learn. What would my parents think? What would the neighbors think?
You know? The social expectations. Absolutely.
So I was on that same level, and to be honest, I messed it up for Cecilia for the first couple of years until I finally understood, and we understood, you shouldn't pressure your children into the best thing you can do by pressuring children is that you teach them how to hate learning. I mean, that's what pressure does.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when we removed the pressure, and one story is with Storm, our oldest, how he learned to read. I was very nervous about it. So I was a lot up to Celia about
Please share this story. Yeah, I know it, but I think the audience will get a lot out of it.
Basically, Jesper told, as he said, he told me, you know, if he's not learning what they learn in school, we will put him in school and you can't do it. I really wanted to homeschool him. I thought it was the right thing to do. And to me, homeschool, well, I didn't imagine homeschooling. I just imagined freedom. But my husband said he needed to know that, you know, they would learn the same as in school. Mm. I would have to buy school books and make sure they fill out all the little things in the books. And, you know, we did what they would have done in school. And we hated it. We hated it.
Absolutely.
And Storm, he decided, we hated it. Every moment of it. The funny thing is, I had a newborn child. I had a baby of 6 months, and then I had a three-year-old child, and then I had Storm being 6 years old. So I had two others to look after, and it was quite complicated to sit down and pretend school with the smaller children around. And but I tried. I respect my husband, I respect his feelings, and I respect that we are two parents and we don't always totally agree, but we have to be, you know, on the same team. So I tried to do it. I would say I did it
partly
once a week. if he's not listening, no. I really
excuse us for a second, Jesper.
But we did try. We sat down on the kitchen table, totally traditionally, trying to do a school-like situation, trying to teach him stuff, and he was one big vibration of protest. And he decided, I am never going to learn to read. And he held that thought for many, many years.
Wow.
And the funny thing is that his younger sister, growing from 3 to 4, learned to read. So she could read when she was 4 years old. And Storm refused to learn to read. He refused to try. He refused to talk about it. There was no reading. And he did not read until he was 13 years old.
So, hang on a sec. Sorry.
It took a lot of courage from our side.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, as a parent, like, at that point, you go,
it was not easy.
What are you doing, man? Like, what are you doing, man?
But then I read about it and looked into it. And in natural learning, if you leave your children be, let them read whenever they read, let them sing, play the guitar, learn math, crawl ladders, build Lego, do whatever they do. Reading, of course, is a key element. You know, everybody's looking at when do they read. And a lot of children read when they are 12. A lot. It's not uncommon. If you just leave them be, they will all learn to read, because reading is such a big part of the life we live. There is text
everywhere.
They all learn to read. You do not even have to teach them the alphabet. They will learn to read. But some of them take their time and they read when they are 12, even older. Some of them are 15 before they read, but they do read, and not poorly. They read.
Well, you said he started reading in like 3 languages or something.
No, that's the fourth child. No,
oh, sorry.
Storm, he picked up reading when he was 13.
Yeah.
Just before we took off in the bus. He got a Kindle, an ebook reader, and he decided, well, basically, he decided there's this book. It's not coming out as an audiobook. It's number 3 in a what's it called? Series. A trilogy. It's not being translated to Danish, and it's not coming in the audiobook version. So if I want the end of this story, I need to learn to read and I need to learn to speak English.
Yeah.
So, and it's such a good book that I want to read something less interesting first, because I want to have the skill before I read. So I picked up his Kindle and he started reading. Fast forward 3.5 years, that's now, the kid is reading all the time. All the time.
Almost annoying.
You cannot get him to help with anything.
You're trying to talk to him and he's reading.
Yeah.
He read hundreds of books in several languages.
Wow.
He discusses literature with highly educated people.
And has a book club.
And has a book club. Yeah. That's one to think about. Yeah. So, but this was our first unschooled child and it was not easy. And he had this 4-year-old reading and we're reading family. We read books all the time. And I'm highly educated. I have a university degree and everybody's educated. And this kid not reading. And, you know, my mother-in-law asking about it.
Yeah. That would have been fun.
If I can say one thing to it, a lot of it actually have to do with confidence as a person and self-love, because it's, as you say, it's the what would the neighbor say feeling, what would the mother-in-law say. So if you come to a point where we are now, where you stay inside your own truth, we know what we're doing is right. We can see we have highly social, outward spoken, friendly, wonderful human beings as our children, then it becomes a lot easier. But in the start, you take on these different crutches, and that can be bringing the school home, as mostly homeschooling is. Then you end up speaking educanese, is where you explain unschooling in an educational fashion, saying, oh, but when he is...
The traditional, we're baking, that's math. But you know, in my house, when we bake, we bake. We make cakes we like cakes. We're not doing math.
Yeah,
but it's like a step, you know, you try to explain and you try to...
Fractions in...
and you try to...
Yeah.
What is the word? Oh, sorry.
Fill the gaps or sort of over...
No, but the...
Protect your own, like... Okay, you talk.
It's about the personal insecurity where you have to, with homeschooling, for example, you have, oh, if they have been through these books and they can read at this and this, then I'm a good enough parent. And I've done my job good enough. You know, that's what a lot of it is. But for me, my internal checklist is, do they feel confident in themselves?
Mm.
Can they speak to other people?
Mm-hmm.
Do they behave nice towards other people? That is when I'm as a parent can put these checklists and say, okay, I succeeded in not ruining my child. I have made a nice human being.
I think one really important thing that we want our children to learn and that they will learn from this different lifestyle is you get up in the morning.
Mm.
You have to make up your reality. Okay. You have to decide, what am I going to do today? No one decided for you. There's no schedule, no curriculum. Nothing you can't check off 10 boxes.
Yeah, there's no template to fall into.
And now I have like 2 hours of screen time because I did well in school. And then I can have a snack and I can go to bed and I'm good enough. No, you have to make it up. You have to decide what will make me happy. What's the right thing to do? What will make me grateful? What's my path today? How can I be of service to the society around me? How can I be of service to myself? This is a skill hardly any adults have nowadays.
Mm.
It's very hard to do. It's very hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a basic, like walking.
Mm.
You need to be able to tap in to your eternal soul, to your path on this planet, and to find your way day by day. No one knows the full picture, but everyone needs to know, where am I going? And to have some confidence that what I did today, maybe I washed the bed sheets and made a soup. That's it. Played some music and talked to a friend. But this is what I was supposed to do today. This is right. And I go to bed at night and I feel confident. I feel satisfied. I feel happy and I feel worthy. And I think this idea of constructing or creating your own life in a meaningful way. This is what I want them to learn.
Yeah.
If they speak languages, do math, whatever schoolish thing, okay, I'm happy. If they don't, okay, I'm happy. I don't care. Mm. But this skill, I'm looking for it. This is the only thing I'm like really trying to manipulate. Like, can you please try to do this balancing of your...
And what I'm hearing echoed in that sentiment is that you feel like this is cultivating that in a much greater way than the regular school.
And school?
Don't get me started. I don't want to be negative. That's not negative. Yeah. You can move away from negative energy. So let's talk about
stuff. Yeah. So one of the questions I've got then for you guys is, okay, respect. How does that work? Yeah, because at a certain point, I've tuned into Jesper quite a bit of your work as well. And it's the willingness to when your kid comes up to you and goes, hey, answer to this, or what are we going to do with this? Or what are we going to do? You know, like having those templates to fall into, I'm sure can be very convenient. As you've described, it can be quite challenging, right? To be very free and having, you know, you decide, you are the master of your own destiny. Please, let's go see what you want to do. Now, your role I can hear is about advice, but then there is some sort of, I guess I just want to ask the question around, you know, not necessarily being authoritarian, but the competence of being, I'm the parent and I know how to do this. Listen to me. Versus, do they still listen to you when they're crafted to be so open? Should they even listen to their parents? Like, what, how do you navigate what mainstream would sort of consider as being the respect piece for the parents? Yeah.
So you're talking about they have to respect us or we have to respect
them?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Good point. Do they respect you and your guidelines when you put them out for them? Like, how does that work?
Give them reason to respect me, they respect me. Mm. If I'm stupid, they don't. Sometimes I am stupid.
Yeah, we're absolutely not perfect. I mean, I have a...
This is true.
Everybody has temper. Sometimes you lose it and then you have to say you're sorry and pick up the broken
sometimes
shot.
Sometimes you're just stupid. You remember, I'm sorry, I'll take an example where you did something. It's not very stupid. No, but it's not. It's really not very stupid. But our youngest child, 10 years old, he's rehearsing throwing knives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because it's fun.
And he was doing this. And then he lost a knife inside a bush. And we came out to help him find it. And he was a little uneasy that day, a little off. Yeah. So he was a little afraid to be told off because the knives are expensive. And
he was afraid we would be angry he had thrown it
into
a bush.
Or at least annoyed. And then Jesper said, oh, but you've put the target the wrong place. Let me move it. Before asking the kid, you could have phrased it wrong. You had the wrong energy.
Yeah,
and you had this parent, you know, let me show you how to do it. Mm. Yeah. And the kid had actually thought about it because we have wild rabbits here and people are walking dogs close by. And he had thought this is the safe spot to put the target where no one can get hurt.
Mm.
Because a rabbit is fast. And the dog walker maybe unleashes the dog and then the dog just walks by and he throws his knife without seeing it. Mm. So he had actually put a lot of thought into putting the target there, knowing, okay, I might lose a knife, but that's better than losing someone's life. And Jesper didn't stop to ask which is totally normal in the process of life. We have four children, work to do, and we have guests who came down from France and lots of things going on.
Yeah.
It's a very good example of, you know, do they respect us? Well, you should reverse it. Do we respect them? Do we come with this idea, I'm the adult, the parent, I know things? Because sometimes you don't. We respect each other in our family and we should listen to each other. And when we're being plain stupid, of course they don't respect us. When we have old ideas about things, how they are supposed to be or how you do it, or we have this idea stuck about something, or we're afraid of things that we don't know really, like or the whole theme of computer games and iPads and stuff wasn't around when we were kids. So what do we know? And we then we have these weird ideas and we have to all talk to each other. They respect my fear more than they respect my old-fashioned ideas. Does that make sense? I talk to them about it. I say, I have this idea about this field. I think this would be good, but I'm not sure I'm right. What do you think? And then I listen to my children and we respect each other.
It's incredible because hearing...
They don't do what they're told. And I don't think they should. I never do it.
It's so inspiring.
I try.
The willingness as the parent to just not know and just say, I don't know, you know, and let's figure it out together is such a beautiful, like, it's so beautiful.
They respect us much more when we do that.
But this, Amrit, this is in theory, and of course we loads of time make mistakes,
of course,
where we have different stuff inside our head, do not have time to listen, or now we have 30 minutes and I do not have 25 minutes to listen to you right now to discuss it. So now this is what we are doing. But the question is not, it's more like, can we do it right 95% of the time instead of maybe.
But also, on the other hand, let's not get this, you know, it doesn't have to go slide too much. We take responsibility. We are the parents.
Yeah.
We have the final say.
Hmm.
We make the final decisions and we take the full responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't want our children to be stressed out about, let's say, economy or so we're traveling. We always have to decide where to go. We talk to each other. We discuss it. We make sure everybody's heard. But it's our decision, yes or not, where we're finally where we're going. And if it's hell, then it's my responsibility, not the children. They are not supposed to be blamed. If they want to, yesterday our youngest son wanted to do something expensive and we're at the end of the month and we're trying to, you know, stay within the budget. And it's not his responsibility to hold back with something he wants to do. It's my responsibility to say, yeah, I have 10 euros for that. And go do it. And then if I don't have 10 euros on Saturday for ice cream, it's still my responsibility. I'm not going to blame him. I'm going to say, no, you can't have ice cream today because you did that on Tuesday. No, I'm just going to say we're out of money. Have an orange. And I think this is a very important balance and it's not easy to find it.
Yeah.
Totally respect them, give them full freedom and full, you know, I don't like the word democracy, but, you know, we have family democracy. I think it's the best way to explain it. But without imposing a responsibility on young children that they don't have. It's not their responsibility. So that's that.
Guys, you've traveled a lot. You've traveled a heck of a lot. Do you find some cultures are more... Okay, two questions in one. Both ends of the spectrum. So do you find some cultures are like, oh my God, this is so amazing, and like which cultures are like totally open to what you're doing, or like even more most open, not totally open, I should say, most open to what you're up to in the world is traveling nomads, world schooling nomads, and which cultures were like, no, this, I feel like, sorry, I put on an Indian accent, I'm thinking about my dad. No, this is wrong. That's inappropriate. I shouldn't
say. We haven't been to India.
We have been in an Indian article about it. Let me start the...
We have been to India.
Start the answering the question. And the fun thing is, when we lived in Denmark, as we have only been full-time traveling for 4 years, before that, the trips became longer and longer, and it grew inside us. But before that, when we told people what we did, it wasn't common to unschool your children. In the States, for example, it's around 2% of every child that is homeschooled. So people don't look at you like you're some kind of weirdo. And we needed to explain it. COVID helped a little. Now more people have heard about homeschooling. But before that, people were weirded out and like, is that good for your children and stuff? But after we started full-time traveling, the exact same question. So what are you doing? Oh, we are unschooling our kids. We are traveling the world. Then it became from a frown where they were like, what is going on? What are you doing? To, wow, that's my dream. I want to travel. The same thing. Now we're just in another country. But so it's kind of weird that... And I think what makes it in people is that it is easier sometimes to hold something as a dream. Oh, that could be wonderful. But if I do it in your own backyard, then it says, oh, man, you could do it too. And that can be kind of challenging for your inner belief about what is possible in your life. So for us being world schooling, it's like, oh, it's cool. You do it. I dream about it. But not everybody can afford it. Of course, everybody can. You just need to find your way. So that's my point about it. Now people find it interesting no matter where we go. Back home, it was weirder.
I also think that the question is impossible to answer. I think it's more about we meet open-minded people.
People in the different places, yeah.
It's not about culture. It's about mindset. And you have open-minded people and more
closed-minded people in all different cultures.
And, well, we don't feel, as my husband said, when we lived stationary and he went to an office job during the weekdays, we felt more judged by other people in a negative way than we do now. Most people say, oh, that must be so amazing. And then they have the standard questions about social life and education. And
how can you afford it?
And how can you afford it? Yeah, money. Three big stars.
Does it feel... Sorry, I interrupted you. Sorry, please.
No, I think we should move on because it's not...
I was going to ask, like, does it... Is it like when people feel what you're doing with your family as like traveling around the world, is education a point of conversation that comes up? Like, is it one of the topics that always comes up, or is it just something that people don't always
need? The three big topics, social life, education, and economy.
Yeah, it's interesting that is such a forefront in people's minds.
Around,
well, we don't have to answer
it. No, but around education, a lot of it is misconceptions. People think that, for example, the rules are different from country to country, but people think you need to have been through 10 years of formal schooling to be able to take the next step. In Denmark, that is not true. You can just take a test at that time. And you find your way. Everyone who have been unschooled or homeschooled who wants to go to university can end up doing that.
Yeah,
maybe it takes them a year to do some extra courses and take some tests, but if they're motivated, it's quite easy.
They'll get there. Yeah, perfect. That was one of the interesting things I also felt tuning into, your Danish background was, the Danes recently, there's been this almost like there's a couple of books that have come out. The Danish Way of Parenting has like a massive following around the world now. They believe Danes are the happiest people in the world. Their parenting style has a lot to do with that. And, you know, there's this sort of, you know, from the outside looking in, Danes have it figured out. And then, you know, unpacking that, it's like actually there's even room for growth in that space because, you know, like you said, some of your kids went there and they didn't necessarily love it. Now, one of the questions I've got there is, I already know the answer to this, but I got to ask it anyway, is it for everybody? Is it for everybody? And what would you say? Like, you know, following,
it's for everybody who wants to. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Not for everybody. Nothing's for everybody. We're not alike. And luckily so. People are different. Everybody have their own path. And I hope they go find it. That's my, if I am to you know, say something with the finger, I would say, I find it very important that everybody go look for their own way of doing things and their own path. And if your path is an office job and a school for the kids and a house and two cars and, you know, a mortgage and this whole style, I'm not judging you. I just would like for most people, because I believe that will make them happy, that they would figure out what they truly want and then go do it. Everybody can unschool. Everybody can travel the world if they want to. But it's not everybody who wants to. And I don't want everybody to live like I do. It's not a mission I have. I want to have my personal freedom. And I respect the personal freedom of everybody else.
Yeah.
But yes, everybody can do it if they want to.
Yeah. And it comes down to one of the things I believe most strongly about, which is taking responsibility of your own life and also of how you are as a parent. And I know when I look back at my life, I seldom did what society thought I should do. I was the black sheep in the family, but the successful black sheep. So then you're kind of black with glitter or something.
Black with glitter.
Yeah, probably,
I love it.
You know, I didn't go to university. I got accepted, but didn't start because I wanted to go into the media industry, and a job fell down in my lab. And so I've just had fun, you know, and earned a lot of money and had a nice life, but never did I do what society really expected.
Sometimes you did do what
you wanted. I did on many levels, but not on the choosing career path. And so taking responsibility is really, really wild. And we just made a new change in our life. I had a CEO job of an NGO, which they knew I was traveling, and I got offered it while full-time traveling, and I had it, held it for 8 or 9 months. And I was like, you know what? This doesn't make me happy. It's not a good fit. I like the mission you're doing. I like the work with sustainability and education. It's a wonderful project and everything, but it just takes so much of my time that I cannot spend life together with my children, and I'm miserable. I was standing in the shower crying and just thinking, oh no, not anymore. Why we have this freedom? We know what we need to live. We know how to make enough money. I want to be together with my family. And that is taking responsibility on a wild level, because
it is a wild level, isn't it?
I had thought that I wanted that CEO hat, you know. I wanted it for a long time.
Yeah. And then I had it.
I got it. And it didn't fit the head.
Forever. Guys, a question for both of you, two questions each as we start to wrap things up a little bit. Thank you so much. I wanted to tune in. What has been the easy question? What's your favorite part about traveling and unschooling as a parent? Like, what's your favorite part? And if it's the freedom, it's the freedom. You can totally call that out. And what is the most challenging, or not the most, what is the first challenging part that comes to your head? Like, if I was like, what is the most challenging? Obviously the most, there's so much. You guys have been doing this for over a decade now. So yeah, it's probably hard to rank things, but one thing that's your favorite and one thing that's a real challenge on the regular.
My favorite is the relation you get to have with your children. I get to spend so much time with them, and we have so much fun, and we discuss stuff, and I learn from them, and we get to be a really strong family because we have all the time in the world to spend together. I start every day walking for almost an hour with my teenage daughter. Every day, 7 days a week, I get to talk to her for an hour. How many parents do that with their teenage daughter? That's just one of them. And I get to have really close relations with them. I just love it. I love it. I love every minute of it. The most challenging part is the deconstruction of your own ideas, because you come from something. I come from a kind of hippie family. Well, I do come from a wild family, but I still come from university, society, have a nice kitchen and a big house and the whole idea about what the good life is. Of course, I come from Copenhagen, and I come from Western society. I come from money. I come from education. And I thought I had a lot of ideas, as everybody do, about how everything works and how it is, and deconstructing all of that to find reality was the most challenging part, and doing it fast enough because they do grow up, the kids. They are now 10 and 13 and 16 and 23. It's not forever that they are children.
No, it's a limited time we
are gifted. So that's my answer. Of course, I'm interested.
My answer.
What's your favorite part?
Yeah,
sitting in the sun.
No, but we made a big change recently with me quitting working so much, and that liberty is really one of the things I cherish. The fun thing was it also brought a not depression, but a hey, I don't need to work, but then who am I?
Do we still like you?
Yeah, do they still like me when I don't need to work that much? And what is good enough for me as a day? But then I started out. Now I do my yoga every morning for an hour, and after that I'm just a very happy man, and I do what I do. But one of the really, really wonderful things, I will mention a couple. I'm not good at just staying with one.
Just pick one. You can say 10 more.
Okay.
You can say whatever you want.
Okay, man. One of the wonderful, wonderful things about world schooling and being free as we are is you get the world to yourself. Because if you go out in the world, normal people, they go to the beach when all the other people are at the beach. And we can go to the beach between 1 and 3 on a weekday, and there's nobody there. So it's like you just have
got it to ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah, we got it to ourselves. The museums, everything. We don't live in a crowded world. We live in a very nice world. And then there's a lot of pensioners also hanging out with us. So there's something wonderful about also it's not like there's more sunshine in a day than there was before in my life. But before, I was inside in the best hours of the day. And now if the sun shines, and well, then we can go to the beach when we want, and then I can work in the evening when I want. It's the
not work,
which I also love. about seeing what the world schooling and unschooling does to my children, then some of the things that make me proudest is to, I remember last summer, our 10-year-old, he was standing and having a 1 or 2 hours conversation. We hanged out at a cafe at the beach with a woman that was maybe 33. And she was laughing all the time and just enjoying spending time with him, because they grow up without ageism. They do not live in a world where 10-year-olds only talk with 10-year-olds. They do not live in a world where it's weird for them to address and talk openly about everything to a person that are 10 years their senior. When I see that, I'm like, wow, that is fantastic.
That is fantastic.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Now that you get to say
it. Yeah, anything. More than that.
Yeah.
I think another really great thing about this lifestyle where we carved out a lot of personal freedom is that life gets to throw at us good learning journeys. It's so interesting how new situations, new places, the people we meet, it's just on the path, and we get to grow with our souls and with our personalities. We get to keep adjusting. Where are we? Who are we? What do we need to learn? Some of the lessons we learned many times over and over, it feels like learning the same thing. So I feel that my eternal being gets to evolve faster. More, yeah. Faster, with more richness, with more fullness, because
my
life is so full of situations that I can hear universe calling, like when we never move the bus again, and you know, things that happen, and we get to tune in, okay, what's going on here? And when you throw yourself out into new situations, it's like waking up. It's like just being more tuned into everything around us. And I think we get to, I don't know, I feel more alive in a way. And I feel growing like in a more full way. I wouldn't say faster. It's like, fuller. You know, more details are unfolding and growing. I really appreciate that part.
And the fun thing about it is her wonderful part about that is also one of the ones I find most challenging. But to constantly be met by, and we will constantly evolve as human beings because we put ourselves in so many situations, meet so many different people. Mm. We use so much time evaluating what we experience, talk about it. Okay, this person reacted in that way and this one in that way. And what did that mean? How does it make me feel? You know, sometimes part of me is like, oh, it would be so easy.
Just go to work, watch
Netflix. Then I go to the gym every first day or something. It is hard.
It makes sense.
To evolve and to put yourself in a spot where you do it, and it's at the same time the greatest gift of it. To just constantly evolving.
I would suffocate not doing it.
Yeah. I would never be.
Oh, guys, thank you so much for your time, your presence, your energy, for sharing yourself so openly with us here today. And honestly, I know it's not just today that we get to revel in this conversation. It's basically two people's lifetimes worth of work that you guys have put into building the life that you have, the way that you have, and potentially built and helped build four other lives as well. Go you guys. And and just really just a lot of respect and a lot of love for you guys. And also just acknowledging you both for, yeah, just the courage that it really takes to live that freely. That meant a lot to me, hearing that and receiving that in this particular episode. It's something that's really leaving a very lasting impression for me personally. I just became a dad, 8 months old at home. Oh, and the big piece for me is, yeah, I kind of already felt this as being right in my bones, but you guys really affirmed it for me, is the respect piece. Is respect them and they'll respect you back, you know, and it's not about being authoritarian in any sort of way. It's just show them respect and they'll respect you back. And, you know, even just you won't get it right all the time, but if you get it right more times than not, you're on a good path. So thank you guys so much for your time, energy and presence here today. I will put a link to you guys' website. Anything else you'd like linked into the show notes for people to reach out to connect into your work? I know there's a bit going on Instagram for you guys as well. How's that all feeling?
If there's a link to the website, I
suppose. If there's a link to the website, it's wonderful. Otherwise, we have worldschoolingnomads.com and worldschoolingnomads at both Instagram and Facebook. And the reason we share is basically because we ourselves would have loved to learn from people like us when we started out.
Yeah, 10 years ago, it was another field. Much out there, so...
So we give back by letting people take a sneak peek into our life and listen to what we do. So they hopefully can get rid of all the what if and what would the neighbor say and just come to being themselves.
And follow their inspirations. Thank you so much for that as well, because it's like we said before, even in the episode, the challenges around, you know, what the neighbor says and all that sort of stuff. It'd be so easy for you guys to just do your thing and just keep it on lock and enjoy yourselves. But, you know, opening yourself up potentially even to criticism along the way. But it's such a blessing to be so openly received and you guys sharing yourselves. I really appreciate that. Really, really appreciate you guys. All right. I'm going to love you and leave you. Thank you guys so much for doing this episode with me. Guys, check out more. Please check out worldschoolingnomads.com. Links in the show notes below. Thank you so much for tuning into this amazing episode of The Inspired Evolution. Without you, the Inspired Evolution tribe, this podcast would not be what it is today. Thank you so much for your love and your support. Thank you so much for being so inspired to evolve. It's truly inspiring. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe to The Inspired Evolution on YouTube, the home of The Inspired Evolution's video podcast. We release inspiring conversations such as this every week, along with guided meditations and empowering insights, all designed to help you grow and evolve. Honestly, your subscription on YouTube to the channel helps us out a great deal. And one of the other benefits, if you're having any insights or shifts from these episodes that you want to chat about, or if you'd like to leave myself or the guest a message, please do so in the comments on YouTube. I truly look forward to hearing from you. And as always, Tribe, remember to stay inspired and keep evolving.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.